Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Ira Winderman, he covers the Miami Heat and the NBA for the Sun Sentinel. We have not had him on while we've been in these new studios. We had even some thought about making him our first guest ever, but we went with Michael Irvin instead.
I voted for Ira.
I know. It was a tough vote for all of us. But Ira is there, and we will speak with him. Hello, Ira.
Hello, gentlemen. I was driving around. I heard you complaining the first day. Is there an echo? So I try to text you there right away. I got to tell you, I want people to know, for as much as I've been on the radio for so many years, I still have such a naivete that when you used to change the name of your studios, you know, the so-and-so car dealership studios, I used to actually think you were in a different place. And I remember, like, where do I go now? Oh, they're not at the AutoZone. They're at this dealership or this car dealership. And now I finally realize, yeah, it's the same place, just a different sponsor. So when you guys actually did move, it's the first time I realized when they do fill in next time, I actually have to find out where the studios are.
So you have not seen this facility yet?
I have not. I'm like sort of QAM, you know, like fourth cousin twice removed. So well, I'm a little bit down the line, but I'm sure I will be there at some point.
I'm not lying, Ira, and I don't know if you're on Instagram. I've been Instagramming videos of it, but I am not lying. This is a Taj Mahal when it comes to radio. I have never worked in a radio facility like this. And, you know, for all the people that have said, you know, radio is dying. Entercom is shouting from the rooftops here. No, you're completely mistaken. When you step foot in this place, I mean, you're not going to believe it. I mean, from the food hall at the bottom to the rooftop bar on the top and everything in between, it really is amazing.
Well, you've got to understand, I've been now in four different studios. I go back to the old, this sort of like trailers for park. QAM.
Yeah.
In what, Pembroke Pines was it? Or like, yeah. Oh, Cooper City. It was Cooper City. And this is actually true. My wife used to work as a salesperson there, and she would actually have to ask Boog Shambi or Bob Wischusen to help her get to her car because the cows had escaped from the pasture next door, and she didn't want to go out to her car alone.
Yeah, I mean, it reminds me, you know, my first radio job in Belglade, and you know, I'd be accosted by mosquitoes that were the size of cows when I would leave the
like
radio station.
Yeah, pterodactyls, they would just lift you away. No, I've lived through all the incarnations, and the one joy I've had is I've been in the closing days of all three previous studios when they were moving, so you talk about barely scrimping together a radio studio as the movers are literally carrying the seats away. That was the case over there in Cooper City at the previous QAM studios on the other side of Vibes Dairy, and then the last one. Literally, like getting a seat and a microphone was a major accomplishment, so hopefully you stay put for a while. I really feel like I should have brought a babka or something, but mazel tov, fellas.
Well, please, bring a chocolate babka the next time that you're here.
I have babka now.
Oh, I know you do. Ira Winderman, all right, now we're going to segue into NBA talk, which gives me an opportunity to see if we packed your intro. I don't know what we packed. I don't know what made it through security and whatnot. So, do we have the introduction for Ira Winderman? Oh my goodness, we do.
I love it. Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel. Ira Winderman. Ira Winderman. He covers the NBA.
My favorite part. Favorite part when he just groans.
And now maybe I realize I didn't miss you guys that much. But great to be back, fellas.
So we haven't spoken with you in almost three weeks. What one word would you use to describe the Heat's moves in free agency?
Upgrade.
Yeah. You know what, though? Mm-hmm. When you say that, this I find really interesting. The Vegas over-under for the Heat wins for the season is 42.5. Which is only one game higher than it was going into last season.
Yeah, but it's also three games higher than the actual finish. I always base the over-under on the actual finish and not what the prediction was, even like, you know, earlier in the offseason or what it was a year ago. And you know what, guys? Let's be honest. One, three games gets you into the playoffs. That's about where the Heat are right now. they've added Tyler Hero, they've added Jimmy Butler, but keep in mind, for better or worse, they have lost the rebounding and shot blocking of Hassan Whiteside, and they've lost Josh Richardson. So if you say the Heat made a trade of Josh Richardson and Hassan Whiteside for Tyler Hero and Jimmy Butler, yeah, it's somewhat of an upgrade, but this is not like the Clippers getting Kawhi or Paul George or the Lakers getting Anthony Davis. This is, if you gave me two words, I would have said mild upgrade. That's about where they are, and that's why everyone is waiting. Okay, Pat, where's the other shoe? What's part two of this? This couldn't only be it, because let's face it, if you're playing Jimmy Butler $32.7 million for this year, and he's on a contract that, you know, it becomes an expiring contract and that you only get 4 years of value, you're sort of expecting to win when you play a single player that much. So what's the other part of this right now?
Ira, that was what I was going to ask you, though, the second act, the part two of this. We've heard about the Chris Paul stuff. We've heard the Bradley Beal, John Wall stuff. Do you anticipate any of that happens this offseason or before the trade deadline?
Yeah, again, you know, stuff could happen down the road. First of all, a week from today, the 26th of July, is the first day that Bradley Beal can be offered a three-year, $111 million extension by the Wizards. He has 2 years left on the previous Supermax deal he signed. That will be telling, because if Bradley Beal comes right out and says, no thank you, and lets people know, which I believe he will, the Heat are automatically on the clock for two reasons. Number one, we better start saving our space for 2021, because in this league where everyone tampers, Bradley Beal is sending us a signal. Number two, maybe we need to acquire draft choices, because why wait for 2021 when Bradley Beal basically has just told the Wizards, I am out of here, and we'll trade for him ahead of time. Who knows, maybe even now. So I think that's sort of a non-official official personnel date, number one. And number two, that's where the Chris Paul thing figures in. If the Wizards say, instead of some of your players, like Justice Winslow and some of your expiring contracts, like Goran Dragic, we'd rather have picks, then maybe you go back to the Thunder and you go, what's it going to take picks if we also take Chris Paul off your hands? So I think Bradley Beal sort of becomes the next thing the Heat center on. But I just get the impression with Pat Riley, if those two don't happen, he'll go, okay, hello, Cleveland, Kevin Love, what's the asking price? Because I think once you go up the track and you say, we are back in the contention game by offering Jimmy Butler $32 million and telling Jimmy Butler you're in the contention game, you better have a game plan for at least one more. Because you know what? If your best player is Jimmy Butler, that's all well and good. But who's your second best player?
Right. Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel is with us. That's the first time I've heard Kevin Love mentioned as a potential target. But what would be your assessment? Let's say whatever they did is just what they've done. In the past couple of weeks, they drafted Tyler Hero and they got Jimmy Butler. They lost Josh Richardson and Hassan Whiteside. D-Wade is obviously gone. What's your assessment then?
You know, I had one of my readers that ask a good question earlier this week, and he gave me his best-case scenario. And I would say it this way. If Dion Waiters is the Dion Waiters we're seeing on Instagram and working out at Miami High and with Dave Alexander and doing some football work today and really is committed to being the player he was 2 years ago, and if James Johnson gets back closer to what he was and Justice Winslow takes another stride, you guys know where I'm going. It's like best-case scenario for everyone. I think they could challenge for a home court in the first round of the playoffs, because I think outside of Philadelphia, Milwaukee, I'm not sure, maybe Boston too, there's four dominant teams on the top of the Eastern Conference. But unlike with other teams where they can look at them their roster and say, okay, if these three things happen, I think with the Heat it's a matter of if these six things happen, that so many of their players can go either way, and they would probably need the best of at least four of them. Bam Adebayo, you've cleared out Hassan Whiteside, he better be worth it. Justice Winslow, great strides last year, you know, in coming on as a playmaker. Does that continue? Does Jimmy Butler return to the form he was before he became a third wheel in Philadelphia? So, again, and Eric Spoelstra's coaching, again, I'm not getting into the whole George Sedano thing about whether he's a great coach or not, but he's a really good coach who always has maximized players. So this will be a case, if everything goes great for the Heat, yeah, I think they can contend for home court, and I think you'll know that within the first month of the season.
I would submit to you, though, don't you think everything could go great because of Jimmy Butler? I think there's nobody in the NBA that oozes that Heat DNA more than him. Like, he practices hard. He expects the best. And I feel like if you are going to get Deion Waiters and James Johnson playing the way that they were playing, like Jimmy Butler's that, you know, it's one thing for Udonis, who's not playing, to be,
right,
you know, rah-rah guy. But Jimmy Butler will be out there and will be the alpha dog and will be the alpha dog at practice. Like, if four out of those six things are going to go great, Jimmy Butler makes it closer, yeah?
Yes, but it's still about talent more than desire and upgrade. Look, this whole league has changed now from the big three to big twos. Everyone has a big two. I mean, you might not say Kemba Walker and Gordon Hayward are a big two, but they know who's one or two. You know, in Philadelphia, it's Embiid and Simmons, and then they work with everyone else. In Milwaukee, it's Antetokounmpo and then Chris Middleton. You know, Houston now with Westbrook and James Harden. Here's the deal. The difference, I even wrote this for my Sunday column. This is the largest salary difference between the top two highest paid players, Jimmy Butler to Goran Dragic, over $10 million, since the difference was between Shaquille O'Neal at $20 million and Jason Williams at a little over $8 million. In other words, the division between the Heat's top player and second best player, I can't recall the last time it's been this big, if we also factor in Chris Bosh to the rosters even when he wasn't healthy. So my question is, who's going to be the running mate? If Jimmy Butler gives you 25 points a game, who's the guy that you know every game is going to be there to give you at least 18 to 20? If it's Deion Waiters, God bless him. If it's Goran Dragic with his expiring contract, that's terrific. But I don't think they have that. I don't think they have that second dog, unless maybe it has to be Deion Waiters. And guys, Channing, you and Hawk talk about this all the time. How many second chances are at the point where you go, come on, guys, this isn't a second chance anymore? Because it does seem, doesn't it, like Deion Waiters is on his about his fourth second chance?
He looks good, though.
Yeah. Well, you know what? To segue into that, how do you feel about him on Twitter dressing Twitter trolls about his weight? Like, isn't that beneath him?
Yes, it's beneath everyone, and I don't get it. And I was talking to Chris Whittingham the other day about it. I rarely go into my mentions. If people have a real question, they'll email me. They'll post an Ask Ira question. But for these guys to get that caught up and let it bother them, and we know, we've spoken for years about Kevin Durant and his burner accounts, I just think that's awfully silly. I think you have to have a certain level of confidence in who you are and what you are than some guy sitting in a undershirt in his mother's basement, you know, typing an anonymous message back at you. It's like Hawk said earlier, now with the new text machine you have, you actually know who people are. We know where we can find you now. You know, it's a lot different when you're not that anonymous, and I think that's the case with a guy like Deion Waiters. Never should have paid attention to that. But you know what? Deion Waiters shouldn't have to have been body shamed. He should have body shamed himself because he's a professional athlete. Some jobs, being in shape and looking good matters. It's part of the job. So I don't think it should have taken, you know, Bill Unknown from Unknown Parts to criticize him versus him literally to look in the mirror. And I know he was injured, and I saw Will Manso's feature on that. But while he was injured and sidelined, he didn't keep himself in great shape. He spoke about his passion for gummy bears and things like that. Be a professional all the time, then no one's words will bother you, because you can say to yourself 24/7, 365, I'm a professional.
Quickly, because we're out of time, but you mentioned that everything is, you know, the power duos now and not the big threes. Jalen Rose on Get Up did his top NBA duos. His number one duo was Kawhi and Paul George. LeBron and AD were number two. Kevin Durant and Kyrie were three, which I don't even know how you could proclaim that right now.
Right.
And Klay and Steph were number four. Who's your number one NBA duo?
Well, it's tough because no one has played together except for Steph and Klay, and they're a proven commodity.
Although Klay's not going to play.
Well, we have unproven Klay, but you know what? He'll be back from the ACL this year. The ACL is the better injury than the Achilles. I'm going to add one more on there I think people might be overlooking. I'm really curious about Luka Doncic and Kristaps Porzingis, because those guys have a skill set where they're each like two players, because they're playmakers and scorers and rebounders, and they can push the ball. I think Dallas has a fascinating big two there. I'm curious to see how they're going to round it out. For now, the only proven commodity would be Golden State. but I would say Kawhi and Paul George, if Paul George is healthy with that shoulder. That's the thing is, you can have a big two, but we don't have any chemistry big twos right now. This is not like the Rockets running it back with Chris Paul and James Harden and seeing if they can have it. So maybe Giannis Antetokounmpo and Chris Middleton are the top duo. You know how, like, it, remember, like, as a kid, we'd always say that the home run brother leaders are Hank Aaron and Tommy Aaron, because right. Hank had 700 and Tommy had 12. I think in Milwaukee, when you start with the MVP, it might not matter who your number two is. So I might even go Antetokounmpo and Middleton in Milwaukee, just because I think Giannis is that much over the top when it comes to an MVP-level talent.
We've done that before with Crowder and Sam Madison combined interceptions. It's a staggering number.
We got like 40 together.
Exactly.
What about because I feel like everybody's sleeping on Dame Lillard and CJ McCollum. I mean, they've played together.
Yeah, I also think people think that last year getting to the Western Conference Finals and sort of that, not to say collapse, but just didn't have enough, shows that team only has a certain level. And I don't want to say novelty act, but I think you need to be a little bit different and have a little varied skill set. I think they're an either-or type of scorers, where Dame Lillard will have 30 unbelievable scoring games, and CJ McCollum will have 25 unbelievable scoring games. But there's still not the post presence. There's not something to set off. There's not the defense there. So I think when you're a little bit too similar, I think that sort of limits you as a duo as well.
And we're not trying to be negative, but as we were talking about those duos where Kawhi and Paul George went to the Clippers together and LeBron got AD to come to the Lakers, Kyrie and KD talked about, you know, going to, you know, Brooklyn, you know, in the season. I saw they had all those memes about it. Is Jimmy Butler, is he going to pull another guy? Are there players out there that say, I want to play with Jimmy Butler, like AD wanted to play with LeBron?
Yeah, there are, and that's the first question I asked Jimmy Butler when I said when he signed. I said, are you going to try to get someone else? And he says, don't take the shine off the moment. I'm going to enjoy this, and we're going to move forward. But that Bradley Beal thing I told you, don't kid yourself. If Bradley Beal, one, is faced with the extension, I bet there will be a ton of players who will call him and say, don't take that extension. You're better than our team. I've spoken to our coach. I've spoken to our general manager, who are not allowed to talk to you, but I am. That's what's so dirty about this league, the whole tampering thing. And yeah, I think Jimmy Butler probably might even be asked by the organization here, hey, call Bradley before next Friday and let him know if he doesn't sign an extension that you'd love to play with him. So yeah, Channing, I think there will be that kind of contact. But you know what? I think LeBron and I think Paul George and I think James Harden, they'll all do that. The tampering in this league, I can imagine if Roger Goodell oversaw this league, the fines and things he would do. Instead, you sort of just accept it as de rigueur that that's just how this league operates.
Ira Winderman, read his work, sunsentinel.com, or get the actual newspaper. Get a Sun Sentinel wherever.
Please.
Wherever newspapers are sold. Where are newspapers sold?
Gas station, man.
I'll bring it to your house. I'll be in the Volkswagen Beetle first thing in the morning, 4:30 a.m. I'll be that
you
guy.
You remember on the streets, there used to be like 6 or 7 newspaper machines at any given time? And like in a big...
Oh, in every corner. Yeah. Or even when the guy came in the morning, there would be so much of a thump on the driveway, yeah. Talk about old man talk, that you'd wake you up and you'd realize, newspapers are out there. Yeah.
Now he sends it onto my driveway like a paper airplane. He folds it up and it just zooms onto my porch.
Well, because you're the guy, as opposed to me, who got fired as a newspaper carrier, because sometimes I was just tired, so I sort of dumped the newspapers. That'll be that. But that's another story for another
Ira Winderman. Have a great weekend, Ira.
Mazel tov in your studio, fellas. Mazel tov. Thank you.
Appreciate that. We are definitely enjoying it. I'm not even kidding you. Like, don't you feel different doing the show here every day?
I do.
Walking, like, there's life. I can't explain what the old studio was like.
Writing notes downstairs and seeing people walk around.
The other place sucked the life out of us. It's amazing that we were able to have as much fun during the show as we did.
Might have really sucked the life out of us with them damn germs.
Oh, my God. Like, literally sucked the life out of us.
We lost years.
Hopefully this place will reinvigorate us.